Hey guys, just want to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out, patreon.com/Beer City Media Podcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show.
The Monster of Lake Utopia. The lakes and rivers of the Maritimes are the domain of innumerable monsters, and the Lake Utopia monster is among the best known, if only because of the sound of its unlikely name. The Monster of Lake Utopia appeared in the Summerside Progress of Sunnyside PEI August 19th, 1867. It was contributed by the correspondent of the St. John Globe and St. John, New Brunswick. The correspondent of the St. John, New Brunswick Globe, writing from St. George, August 6th, gives the following account of a monster in Utopia Lake, in addition to that which he contributed some time ago to the same paper, and which we then transferred to our columns. Agreeably to my promise that, should any further be developed respecting the strange monster in Lake Utopia, I would write you. I now beg to say that it has been seen by a number of persons since, in different parts of the lake, and on Wednesday, July 24th, by 13 persons, some of whom are of the most reliable character. I would have written you sooner, but being rather skeptical about it myself, I waited to get the correct accounts from the lips of the individuals themselves, and I now have no hesitation in saying, some huge animal of fearful aspect exists in the waters of Utopia.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan, Larry, Springheel, Josh, and the Illumamami herself, Miss April. And on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Old Ned. In the Shoop Kitchen 2021, we move back and forth. We kind of go where we want. Larry's in the interwebs.
Yep.
How's
yep.
it going?
It's going well.
Good. Did you have a good day?
Yeah, actually did.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah. Fun. Sunny.
Better than yesterday. Yesterday was a dumpster fire at work.
Yeah.
Dumpster fire.
With oil.
Yep. That'll escalate things.
Yes. Generally, yeah.
Yep, 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 yep. Well, guess what, guys? We're doing a cryptid, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
At least, kind of. It's one of those cryptids where you have, like, two sentences on the internet.
Yep.
And we go out of our way to just vamp the shit out of this.
This is cryptid bullshit edition.
That's right.
Get ready. What did you have to eat for dinner?
Oh, snap.
Yep.
We're getting real. But yeah, no, we're you know the drill. If you've been with us at this point this long,
we are scraping the bottom of the barrel for cryptids at this point. It's
bringing quality content.
I mean, there wasn't no information when I did my research. I have like some decent stuff,
some factoids.
I have an Urban Dictionary definition too. So
of Old Ned,
Old Ned
in the hood.
Kind of.
That's what I could say that.
I mean, the Urban Dictionary, I just always assume that that's like what somebody's baby mama's yelling at somebody when they drop off their Uber Eats order.
I think it's more, I don't even think that's close, but I think it's more sex acts, usually.
Urban Dictionary is 85% sex acts.
Yeah.
Okay. We should do an episode of just sex act names.
Yeah.
Like shit we've never heard of.
Like, that sounds favorite, like a good list.
My favorite is The Lion King.
What's that?
Okay.
That's when you jizz in your hand and take some on your thumb and then rub it on her forehead and go, Simba.
I heard a version of that where you come on her face, you punch her in the nose, and then you mix the blood and cum together and do the Simba.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. That's
it's the circle of life.
So if when we do that, you'll have to pay the Patreon for that.
Yes, that'll be a Patreon episode for sure.
All right. Well,
we don't like that filth on our free episode.
Yeah, we keep this kid friendly. Yeah,
no, that's right. And we need to pull the Thunderbird to the side of the road real quick so we can get real. All right, guys, you each have whatever time we allow ourselves during this segment to come up with your own sex act and the term for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've done this before, I feel.
Have we?
Yeah.
Jesus, man. How many episodes have we done?
Too many.
228.
Yeah.
Something like
all
that.
Right, well, all right. Well,
yeah. All right. Okay. Well, how about this? Okay. Oh boy. Well, no, maybe not.
great idea.
Thanks.
The slippery snake.
Yes.
The slippery snake is when you have sex on the edge of a bed with slippery socks on.
I'd love to know what the performance percentage rate is on that. Like, how often are people able to achieve the slippery snake and actually go the distance?
You know what Larry's favorite is, right?
Good percentage of that, yeah.
Larry enjoys the Bob Ross, is just doing some extracurricular painting.
I was going to call it the Van Gogh.
We're just going to paint some pretty little clouds here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Of course.
Nice. I like it. Slippery snake. I mean, Larry jumped right in. Mm-hmm.
Yep. What about like the water balloon fight? And after you're done and you pull the condom off, you tie a knot in it throw it at your partner until it breaks.
Until it breaks. Yeah. Like it's like one awkward throw doesn't already make it just
you just
ruined.
Run and you wobble over and pick it up and throw it again.
There's a
until it breaks.
I got a version
it's like
of
a
that.
Pinata.
I got
you
a
don't stop until the candy comes out.
I got a version of that. It's called gas station sandwich, and it's where you take the condom off and then empty it out like you would a mayonnaise packet.
Ugh. Just string it down. Yeah, roll it like toothpaste.
Yep.
Oh God.
Okay.
How often does a woman or man come with like get excited from a cum water balloon? Like, do you think that does anything for anybody?
Somebody.
Somebody.
I suppose it would be somebody.
As somebody who's listening to this gets hit right in the forehead.
How do they know?
It's like they're in my own Shoop Kitchen studio in my genitals. Mind.
Yeah. Ooh, yep. I got one.
Okay,
oh
Josh.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so the guy has to be riding on his partner doggy style, wearing spurs, like cowboy spurs, you know?
Okay.
And
is this called the Brooks and Dunn?
No. You got to do it. It doesn't matter. Probably anal, though.
Okay.
And you got to grab them by the hair and then whisper in their ear, wow, this feels just like your mom. And see how long you can hold on.
Right in the rusty sheriff's Bronco. Badge?
Oh.
This feels just like your mom. What was the name for that?
I called it the Giddy Up Cowboy.
For all the musty cowboys who said that to their lover.
You could also call it the Old Town Road.
Oh, jeez. There you go. It has to be anal then.
Yep. Definitely.
Brown Town Road.
Oh, God.
I guess that means I got to come up with one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mine's going to be called the Nicktoons.
Okay.
What?
Okay. I'm gonna stay on for the ride for this one, but I'm interested to see where we're going.
Metaphorically.
So basically, the whole idea is that, like, you're doing the sex and you're on top, maybe.
Doing the whole sex. Time,
doing the whole sex. Time up until you come, you have to do the Doug music. You gotta do it out loud. And maybe stick a
stick. That's a noise you make when you come, though. You got to do the skeeter.
Nice. So much better than mine. All right. Well, that's the truth.
Good Lord.
That was something.
Yeah, that it was.
That's true.
Oh boy.
That's what you get when you get a conspiracy therapy episode. Well, anyways, as April stated, we do have some information to go over.
Yeah.
Said old Ned. So
okay, while we're on the topic of of sex acts, I do want to say the old Ned Urban Dictionary definition is sexual in nature. So would anyone like to guess what an old Ned is?
I would guess, but
yeah, I know you know.
I guess we'll just say, Larry, would you like to guess what an old Ned is?
An old Ned is when an older gentleman shaves off his gray pubes and glues them on her upper lip, thus making her an old Ned.
That's not what it is, but I wish it was. I truly wish it was. The Urban Dictionary definition for an old Ned is used in gay chat rooms or contact magazine adverts to entice other men to meet up in order that they can have their anal passage used for the sexual gratification of the caller. Any, as used in a sentence, any knob jockeys want to take old Ned out for a ride? It's sounds, like gay slang for a penis.
Okay. That sounds very British.
It does. Old Ned. Oh, come.
May I enter
polish
your,
my old Ned?
May I enter your anal passage?
Put down your little gray and take my old Ned by the head.
There seems to be some gray poop on.
May I pip pip your Cheerio?
Oh, Lord.
That's when they're a virgin.
Yes.
Is this the episode?
You pip their Cheerio?
Yep.
Is this the episode where we figure out all the terminology for if we ever become English gay prostitutes?
I mean, why not?
I guess. Mm-hmm. In another life.
Maybe. I guess I'm never too old to learn a new trick.
Yeah.
There might be some gay podcasters that need your editing skills.
In well, the UK. The
there you go. Oh my god.
Jet Set Larry. Larry's flying between here and the UK.
Hello, hello, hello.
I think we're going to need a couple more Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, for a private jet.
Private jet.
I'll come out and edit it if you pay for my way.
Yeah, there you go.
Or send it via Dropbox.
And you pay for his way.
Yeah, pay for my way. And I'll only edit in Abbey Studios.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, man. All right. So let's get into Old Ned. Old Ned is the tongue-in-cheek nickname of a lake monster in Utopia, or in Lake Utopia, a 17 square kilometer, 100 feet deep lake that connects to the ocean via the Magaguadavik River, the second deepest natural canal in the world. Sightings of near identical creatures also occur in the Passamaquoddy Bay, which connects to Lake Utopia, and is likely the same species. Old Ned's description is vague, but is generally described as being 40 feet long with a serpentine, cetacean-like experience. Similar creatures called the Apatomkin... the Apatomkin, that's what I'm going with, in Maliseet folklore goes presumably thousands of years... But the first written account was in 1842. So old Ned is like, he's really old.
Like, I feel like
he's been around for a while.
Well, I said there's multiple, though.
Right.
I feel his pain.
Yeah, but like, I feel like you call Bigfoot, like, I'm sure it's not the same Bigfoot from like the first sighting. You don't know that old Ned's not 200 years old. It can happen. I mean,
there's tortoises that are really old. So
it could be the same one. Oh, Canadian cryptozoologist Norma Stewart discovered that sightings appear in cycles every 3 to 5 years, and she suggests it may be a breeding or feeding cycle. So they're like salmon swimming up lake, I guess.
Swimming up the river?
Yes, that too. On August 6th, 1867, an old Ned specimen was killed off the Passamaquoddy Bay.
Nice pronunciation.
Thank you. It was a serpentine animal with a whale-like head, dorsal fin, and horizontal tail. So a whale. Like, that's kind of what I gathered from that. It was a whale. This feature is unique to mammals. The horizontal tail is unique to mammals. It was covered in short, shaggy fur like a buffalo robe. Before it was killed, 13 sawmill workers on a raft observed the animal thrashing in the water 100 yards away. In 1872, multiple people observed an old Ned. I like that they just call it an old Ned. Like, it's not just one old Ned. Right. Like, that's the species. It's an old Ned.
Right.
Observed an old Ned basking in the water like a pine log. In 1891, William Francis Ganong, a naturalist, I don't know why that makes me laugh, Ganong.
Bang a Ganong, get it on.
Yes, William Francis Ganong, a naturalist, recorded in his notebook a description of the animal provided by a lumberman who said he saw it 20 years prior.
Again, it sounds like they're calling, I mean, is this the UK?
No, yeah. This is it? No, I'm pretty sure it's U.S.
Okay. I'm just saying lumberman, I've never heard.
Well, this was in the 1800s.
More prim and proper.
Right. Everything sounds more prim and proper.
Yeah, because if it was American, you'd be like, a tree guy.
No, they're called lumberjacks, Josh.
Yeah.
Tree guy.
Yeah, and if I was a lumberjack, I'd be Lumber Josh. That's what Josh would call himself.
So, this naturalist, William Ganong, said, quote, it was dark red in color. The part showing above the water was 20 feet long, about, and as big around as a small hogshead. It was much like a large and very wide eel. So a big fucking hairy snake with a whale face.
I kind of imagine a lot of these early cryptids and our creatures were probably just sea creatures that washed up.
Yeah.
I actually, well, should I save it for the verdict?
Yes.
Because I just saw a thing on Nessie and what it probably is.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be interesting to know.
Do you want me to do it now or save it for the verdict?
Save it for the verdict.
Okay. I'll save it for the verdict because I'm pretty sure.
Right.
I'm pretty sure this falls in the same category.
Probably. Now, in 1969, the St. John Evening Times Globe reported in an interview with Mrs. Fred McKillop of St. George, who said she saw a huge creature 18 years earlier. Quote, it looked like a huge black rock. It moved up and down the lake, boiling and churning the water, making great waves. In 1986, Sherman Matt and his family observed a 10-foot-long hump come out of the water. In 1996, Roger and Lois Wilcox observed a 40 to 50-foot-long serpentine animal undulating in an up-and-down motion towards Cannonball Island.
Isn't undulating like a sexual thing?
No, it's like pulsing.
Like a sexual thing?
I mean, yeah. Like, okay, someone's reading a little too much erotic fiction if you equate undulating with a sexual thing.
I've been reading a lot of Chuck Tingle lately.
It's fine.
I like the pictures, okay?
Pounded in the butt by an old Ned.
The word undulating was used 115 times. Yes. I can't help it.
Now, much has been written and discussed about the legend of the Lake Utopia Monster, or what the Charlotte County, New Brunswick locals call Old Ned. Stories about his existence predate the arrival of the Europeans. There are many descriptions of this creature, but one of the most common is, like I said, that it is serpentine or eel-like. Norma Stewart, who I mentioned earlier, believes that the animal travels back and forth between Lake Utopia and the Atlantic Ocean. Because of this movement between the ocean and freshwater, she refers to it as a sea monster, not a lake monster.
Are there a lot of, like, can all sea creatures move between salt and freshwater?
Well, mammals can.
I don't think so.
They breathe air.
Right.
As a matter of fact, when Aaron and I were in South Carolina, we kayaked in this tributary that was right by the Atlantic Ocean, and we had baby dolphins. We were in the freshwater part.
I was going to say,
we had baby dolphins swim right past us.
Oh, man.
It was fucking cool.
Oh, I bet. That's amazing.
I'd love to see a baby dolphin or a dolphin.
Same. That's goals. Lake Utopia is connected to the ocean via a system of underground tunnels, so it is theoretically possible for a sea creature to pass by the dam in St. George and move into the freshwater system. So that's another thing, is it would have to go like around the dam, underneath it, through like,
maybe it's caverns. One of those serpentine things that can like walk upright and really quick put maybe. On a disguise like a
sailor, like one of those,
sailor uniform,
like one of those glasses nose mustache combos.
Oh yeah.
Oh, like, I'm just old Ned. Put my
like Marx Brothers on. Duck Soup style, just like yeah. walk across like Charlie Chaplin, and uh-huh. then just like real quick disregard the suit and
undulates back into the river.
Yep. Don't mind me. I'm just another friendly human. Oh, there goes my suit. Wow.
No, that's Burdick territory. Never yep. mind.
Now, while many believe that no such creature exists in the lake, many others do. Mm-hmm. Since Old Ned has been described as being eel-like, one common theory proposed is that it is a giant eel. Another newer theory being proposed is that Old Ned may be an oarfish. The oarfish theory is originating from Loch Ness in Scotland. The possibility of Old Ned being one or the other will be discussed.
After now. The bird.
Now, I guess.
Oh, shit.
Well, I'll talk about the giant eel theory.
Okay.
So known species of eels that are found in our East Coast rivers and lakes are catandromous.
Ooh.
This means they grow and mature in our rivers and lakes for many years, migrate out to breed in the open ocean, and then they die shortly after. Womp womp. At least they get it in. When the young eels hatch, they drift with the currents and end up in the rivers along the east coast of North America. There is no evidence that the young eels return to the original rivers or lakes of their parents. Once into a freshwater system, the eels stay and mature for 10 or more years, depending on the species, before they head back out to sea. This does not fit with the migration theory of every 3 to 5 years for Old Ned, as was proposed by Stewart.
Hmm.
So it may look like a giant eel, but like some things aren't quite lining up as far as species go.
Well, couldn't it be a completely different turn of events, though, if it's several? Like maybe it's like right. maybe it's a 10-year thing.
Yeah.
And so it's staggered. Mm-hmm. So
it's just more than one Ned.
One yeah.
What do you call a group of old Neds?
I'm going to go with that big word you said earlier. What was it? Catandromous?
Catandromous?
Yeah. A catandromous of old Neds.
I'm going to say a Flanders.
A Flanders of old Neds.
Yes.
I hear old Neds and I think like
I know, Larry. It's bad. You don't have to say anything.
I feel like a group of old Neds would be called like a Russ's table. Oh, look, if you look into the ocean, there's a breaching Russ's table of old Neds, and they just and they're like holding
that's
up their
what
empty,
they say is myrrh.
And then they're holding waving their empty coffee cups, yeah, banging them on the corner of the table because they need a hot
Where's meatloaf? My meatloaf? Where's my meatloaf?
God damn it, old Ned.
I think it's I think it's an early bird of Ned's.
Oh, there you go. Ooh,
yeah. I think that falls into the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. I like it.
You guys are of the same mind.
Mm-hmm. Now, if a giant eel did manage to navigate into Lake Utopia via the underground tunnel system, one might suspect that the chance of sightings would increase given the fact that it might remain there for years. Excuse me. However, given the fact that an eel does not have to come to the surface to breathe, there is a possibility it might escape detection for long periods of time. Eels also tend to overwinter in the bottom mud, but may remain active at times during the winter. Could this be the source of the apparent incident where during the mid-1800s, witnesses state a giant excuse me.
Serpentine undulating catandromous old Ned?
Oh, it's me hot under the collar just thinking about it.
Anyway, pounded in the butt by my old Ned.
During the mid-1800s, witnesses state a giant eel-like creature broke through the ice, apparently trying to get at the men. Fuck, that sounds scary.
Sounds hot.
Does.
I mean, yeah.
If old Ned is a giant eel, what type of eel is it? Perhaps it is related to or actually is a type of conger eel. Hmm. Conger eels are said to exist from Cape Cod down to Florida, but there has been a sighting off the coast of Nova Scotia. Conger eels can grow to over 3 meters and almost 140 kilograms. They are very aggressive and have large jaws lined with sharp teeth. Their head is very snake-like in appearance. Like their counterparts, however, conger eels die after breeding and do breed in the ocean.
I just picture kind of like a big uncircumcised penis in my head right now.
Yeah.
With sharp teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foreskin teeth.
Yep. And with all the European style language that's come from this one, I guess it makes sense.
I suppose so. Hmm. But see, now that one, conger eels grow to over 3 meters, and Old Ned is supposed to be like 50 feet long.
How many feet are in a meter? Do we know that offhand? It's like 2.5. Like, I know
two
yard.
And a half, I think. Yeah.
It's almost a yard.
Yeah, it's similar to a yard. So that would be 3, 6, 9, around 8 to 9.
Hey, Siri, feet? How many feet are in a yard?
Three feet in a yard.
Well, you know what? I'm a dumb.
How many feet are in a meter is the question.
Hey, Siri, how many feet are in a meter?
That would be 3.28 feet.
Okay, so we were close. We went the other direction. So it's a little over. Okay.
And you were right when you said like 9.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry. I'm actually smart over here. So, you know, you can trust me.
Right. Yes.
We know I'm the idiot.
Catch that episode of the Patreon where we all took an IQ test except for Larry, right?
Yeah.
It's because Larry broke the test.
Because it would have been like, you scored 13. How are you breathing?
Are your pants on your head?
Yeah.
Tell your mom to call these numbers to get you some assistance.
Give us your phone number so we can text you to breathe.
Man dies finding out IQ's result test forgets to breathe.
Oh.
Could be worse. Put in your social security number and your debit card number here.
Hey, I got an email 2 days ago. And it said, we have renewed your Norton antivirus for $430-some for the year.
Holy shit.
If this is a mistake, please call this number with your credit card number. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, nice try.
Just so you know, you're messing with a man with an IQ of 13 over here, so I'm not falling for any tricks.
Damn that prince from Wachaka. He still needs my monies.
Jeez.
That was the big scam back in the day when you were growing up, right, Larry? Like, they would have people that would email you, like, I'm the prince of blah, back blah, blah.
In, I guess, what is back in my day? Because email didn't exist for part of my life.
Well, I get that, but I'm saying, like, I remember specifically there were those prince scams that were going around.
The one I remember is I am a member of the U.S. military overseas, and I have a bunch of money. I'm going to send it to your account and then we can split it 50-50. So it was something like that. It was always American military overseas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was always, because I recall like in the late 20-aughts, right after I had graduated high school and was in college, it was very much like the dating scene. If you were on like a dating website, it was sort of the dawn of the dating website, and there were a lot of like Nigerian princes that needed like, oh, let me wire you money and we can
shebang.
Exactly.
I mean, the riches I will give you.
I'm thinking how many kids did this Nigerian queen have? My god.
No kidding. Yeah. They're everywhere.
Like a vagina is like a clown car.
Nice.
Oh, Lord.
Clown car pussy this fall from Beer City Media.
Oh, boy. Okay, so some speculated that this might also be the source of many of the Loch Ness monster sightings. Two conger eels were found washed up on the shores of Loch Ness, but it was considered a hoax by researchers. Because conger eels,
just a prank, bro.
Conger eels are not known to inhabit fresh water, so it's like someone got two conger eels and like killed them and chucked them on the beach and said like, "This is a silly joke." However, if the lock is connected to the ocean via underwater systems, then it may be possible that they made their way into the lock via a saltwater layer, but once out of this layer, succumbed due to their physiological limitations. Conger eels also seem to prefer deeper water than that found in Lake Utopia. So the thought that it's a conger eel, basically, it's not possible because it would have to be a freshwater eel. Same right. reason as why it couldn't be a conger eel in Loch Ness.
But isn't the... I mean, most animals through the passage of time adapt and or find new ways. Life finds a way.
Yes, but it's usually thousands of years.
Right.
Right.
Now, an interesting feature of conger eels is that they have been seen swimming on their sides, resulting in the body appearing as humps in the water as they swim. This matches the sighting in 1996 by Roger and Lois Wilcox, who reported something undulating upward, not sideways. So, is it possible that the Lake Utopia sightings are based on some sort of giant eel? Most of the evidence points against this theory based on the physiology of known eel species. There is always the possibility, however, that there is some unknown species of giant eel or other creature out there just waiting to be discovered.
Bam, bam, bam. Watch out.
To eel or not to eel? That's the question.
Walking along New Brunswick, and what do I see? A gigantic European uncircumcised penis undulating at me.
It's an all-electric eel. An eel on Musk.
And with that, we'll take a break, folks. And when we come back, more about old Ned.
Hello, Conspiracy Therapy listeners. Are you subscribed to our Patreon yet? You're not? Well, for $5 extra a month, you can get an extra show a week. Pray tell, Larry, what would those shows be? Well, wouldn't you know it, I just happen to have a clip here for you to listen to.
Okay. Those shoes, I saw them, and I'm like, hey, they're kind of cool. I like the colors. But, like... Jesus Christ, man. People are getting pissed.
Look, he is the greatest internetter of all time.
He is. He's the greatest pot stirrer. He really is. Did you see what he said to, what's her name?
Gun Girl.
Yeah, Gun Girl. And she was like, made some comment about, like, do you even see your dad? Like, it was some weird, like, racial comment.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, and I'm going to fuck your ears.
Yep.
I love it. I love that kid. He is amazing. I like his music, too.
So if you like what you hear, you can subscribe at patreon.com/ Beer City Media Podcasts. That's patreon.com/ Beer City Media Podcasts. Now on with the show.
Second segment time, Shoop Kitchen Studio 2021. Gonna get down on some info here. We got the oarfish theory. A few scientists are now considering the possibility that the Loch Ness Monster is actually an oarfish. They're also drawing similarities between Lake Utopia to Loch Ness. These two lakes, among others that have reported mysterious aquatic creatures, share a proximity to the ocean and both lie between the 45th and 50th parallels. A big difference between Loch Ness and Lake Utopia is depth, with Lake Utopia being extremely shallow in comparison. Oarfish are thought to be very deep water fishes, frequently visiting depths of 1,000 meters, which I guess would be 3,000 feet.
Mm-hmm. Now we know.
Why an oarfish? Oarfish are eel-like, being the longest bony fish alive, and the record is said to be more than 15 meters long and over 300 kilograms in weight.
Dang, that's big.
This fish is found in all temperate and tropical oceans, but very rarely seen. They occasionally wash up on shore after storms and are seen struggling at the surface when apparently sick or dying. In 2003, an oar fish may have been sighted off the coast of Nova Scotia by a lobster fisher. Andrew Hebda, curator of zoology at the Nova Scotia Museum of Natural History, stated that an oar fish is, quote, the closest fit to the creature described by the fisher. But Hebda added, quote, there is always the possibility that it could be something as of yet unidentified. To explore the possibility that oar fish could enter into Lake Utopia, it contacted two oar fish experts. Rob Robbins, Florida Museum of Natural History, states, quote, I can attest that oar fishes cannot and do not enter fresh waters. A pelagic species, those found near the surface appear to be victims of upwelling currents or other detritus phenomena, as such fishes have often expired or are near doing so. Any animals noted in coastal environments are always dead or dying, making freshwater habitation exceedingly doubtful, unquote. Tyson Roberts of the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute confirms this. Quote, they never enter freshwater and they apparently avoid oceanic areas with huge inputs of freshwater, unquote. So those previous statements seem to exclude an oar fish as a potential candidate for Old Ned. They would likely avoid entering any underground tunnels were the salinity levels dropped. So I guess that would be like your ocean water versus freshwater.
Sure.
However, a very distinguishing feature of the oar fish is a red dorsal fin that runs along the body. A report in 1891 by William Francis Ganong recorded in his notebook a description of a sighting some 20 years prior. It was dark, quote, in color. The part showing above the water was 20 feet long and as big around as a small hogshead. Quote, it was much like a large eel. Was this dark red color reported from the dorsal fin?
Oh.
Another sighting in 1996 by Roger and Lois Wilcox stated they saw what looked like, quote, humps undulating upwards going through the water and not undulating sideways like an eel, unquote. This has often been attributed to the action of otters or even seals swimming in the water. The oar fish propels itself through the water in an amphiform mode of swimming. In other words, the dorsal fin is undulating while the body is kept straight.
We're going to hit like a world record for number of times saying the word undulating in one hour period.
It's water, it's fish.
Yeah.
Creatures. I will say I've always been kind of scared of the creatures of the sea and or water. Yeah. Like things I can't
especially
see.
The big ones, like the really deep dark ones.
Yeah. Like growing up in Michigan and going to like freshwater lakes pretty much my whole life, I was always terrified I was going to get like my big toe bit off by a snapping turtle or something. Like I said, the dorsal fin undulating while the body kept straight. This would give the impression that the body is forming humps in the water as it moves. So that's my information. I want to thank Josh a lot for this episode. We're, you know, behind the scenes. Sometimes one of us will take the leap and he did, and he's done that for basically the last two, along with April, who I want to also give major props to. and getting this information because this was pretty fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. So, you're welcome for editing, by the way.
Oh, wait, and also Larry.
Beg for thanks.
It's unspoken thanks. Yeah. It's there in the way. It's there in the way we love you, Larry.
Unspoken.
That's the best kind of thanks, isn't it? The unspoken kind.
The ones you don't hear about. Yeah, those are great.
Those are what I think about when I'm alone.
Yep.
Well, guess what, guys? It's already time for us to have a verdict. In one corner, four podcasters who
undulate.
That's right. We stay straight, but our fins, they move. Move towards you. That's right. Mm-hmm. And in the other corner, a big European dick. Our old Ned. We have to ask ourselves, do we think that old Ned is real?
Hmm. I'll go first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Josh. Absolutely. I think it's real. There's no reason for it not to be real. We don't know everything about water creatures, you know, whether it be from, you know, especially the ocean. Mm-hmm. We don't know what they're all capable of. And we see that there's different descriptions of the creature that we've heard of, that they're really long. Well, snakes are really long.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if somebody is, unless somebody's a marine biologist, they're going to look at a snake and they could be like, oh, that's an eel. You know, you look at anacondas or, you know, boa constrictors. Those bastards are long.
Right.
So I don't see any reason why this wouldn't be fake.
Right on. Yeah. April.
I tend to believe that it's something, just because I feel like the number of sightings and how similar they are, in description,
mm-hmm.
you know, it sounds like they're all seeing the same ish thing. The only thing that I'm like, why is it hairy? That's what I don't get. Like it's hairy. So it's a mammal. And they, like they said, it's got the flat fin on the back. If what washed up on shore was an old Ned, I think it's gotta be something. There has to be an explanation. I am not a marine biologist, so it's hard for me to say. Wait, what it is. No, shocker. I have seen pictures of oarfish, and those fuckers are huge, mm-hmm. like absolutely enormous. So I could see that being something. I don't know. I think for sure old Neds exist. I just don't know what they are.
Right on. Larry?
No. Like I said earlier, I had seen a thing about what possibly Nessie is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could possibly apply here. And that is that blue whales have 10... They have penises that are over 10 feet tall. And when they get erect, yes, and when they the head of the whale dong looks kind of like a face. And sometimes when they get erections, they like to turn themselves upside down, so it looks like Nessie's head. So this is could be just a whale with an erection. Because I mean, blue whale.
True.
When other, you know, there's whales bigger than blue whales that probably have longer dongs.
So bunch I think it's just show offs.
I just think it's whale dick. Whale dick. That's what we got here. We got good old fashioned whale dick.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I'm just imagining like.
Of course you are.
Just floating up upside down. Like, what is he trying to prove? Is he showing off to the sea lions?
Check this out, humans.
I don't think whales are sentient like that, where they show off.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. You're being logical.
Why do they put them above water, though? Like, what is
maybe
that?
Maybe it's got to breathe.
Yes. I mean, where else are you going to put the other blowhole?
Wouldn't that be hilarious though if like we had an issue where where whales literally just like they had to the only way they could really they were like self-serving individuals and they like to beat off and then just shoot loads off to the side of like
somebody was walking by and they were just like just for shits and giggles or spraying cum all over.
How would a whale beat off? Their flippers aren't gonna reach.
Well, I
do have seagulls. A question though.
Seagulls.
What's that?
Do you think
Larry?
That perhaps mm-hmm. that maybe whales will fuck the blowhole?
Hmm. That's like their anal.
Like a blow. Like, no, because anal would just be like in the blowy. Whale butthole.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Whales have to have buttholes. Everyone poops.
Yeah, I mean, is it possible that maybe they just skull, you know, head fuck a...
That's like the equivalent of a whale blowy?
Yeah.
It's coming out of its... that is its blowy hole, so...
That's true.
Well, I know blowy what I'm Googling.
I like blowy hole better than blowhole, quite frankly. I petition... I'm thinking we should start a change.org petition, because... Yep. I just want to pretend like I'm making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And we changed it to a blowy hole.
Yep.
I mean,
that sounds fair.
You know, you're cruising, you're in the sea current, and all of a sudden a beautiful blowy hole comes below you.
You just stick it in.
Mm-hmm. No one's looking. Whatever happens in the mid-Atlantic stays in the mid-Atlantic.
I mean, if you have a group of horny guys and they feel like they need to get off, they go to a blowy hole.
Mm-hmm.
That, quite frankly, I'm going to create a bar called the blowy hole.
Yeah.
That sounds brilliant.
Blue whale stage one, blue whale stage one.
Yeah, right. I'm never going to look at Mr. Crab's daughter the same again.
Oh, poor Pearl.
I'm going to say it's not real, but I could see it being real.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's not outside of the possibility that we could discover more creatures. And maybe at one point, this creature will be called Old Ned. I think we just at this point don't have enough information to where we can classify
for
it.
For sure.
But it's totally... So I guess I'm really giving a non-answer in a way because it's like, yeah, it's real, but maybe it's not. But I don't think it's real, but it is real.
Well, right, I mean, we know it's there is a creature. They right. have had people that are this is a creature that is here.
Mm-hmm. If we're going to be real, I want Larry's edition to be the one that's real just because I want to picture a whale like, look at me.
Squirt, squirt.
Like it gets pulled over by the hammerhead shark police. He's like, all right, that's the third time this wheel. That's the third time.
He's like the Mandingo of whales.
It's just a bunch of whale bros. And one's like, hey, Mike, watch this. He just whips out his dick and puts it above water.
Yeah, I just came.
Oh, my God. Look at those people think it's a sea creature.
Freak the fuck out.
I just came all over those stupid surfers. That was great, right?
Now they know why the ocean's so salty.
And then the globster was born.
Oh, it's just whale cum.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know what? If you're an expert masturbator, like myself, you know what happens to cum when it hits water.
It just turns into rubber bands and floats straight to the bottom of the ocean.
Globster.
Lobster, see? Mystery solved.
It does. I've definitely come in a pool before, and that does. You do kind of see that, and it is a completely different.
Whoa, did we swim in this pool?
No.
Oh, good.
Look, I've come in
a hot... The only pool I've been in front of you guys with is a kiddie pool. Last thing I'm going to do is real quick jump in your son's kiddie pool and rub one out.
I've come in a hot tub, and it just looks like egg drop soup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we know the origin, because you've definitely said egg drop soup in the past. That's great.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, that's your verdict.
Josh is a classy fella and does it on the side of the hot tub.
It's true.
On the deck where no one can see.
Mm-hmm.
I can just see the cleaning crew coming in like,
not again. Can I get the spill kit?
Can you tell the next clients they got at least 30 minutes here, because we're going to need hazmat suits.
All right. Get the colander.
We're gonna need the cat litter again.
We've got
Shoop was on the.
We've got Nettie. We've got Nettie spaghetti to strain out of this hot tub.
More like nutty spaghetti.
Oh boy!
All right. Well, what do we got next? My phone died.
Well, I think we have a mail sack.
What?
Mail sack.
All right. This week's mail sack was posted by Josh, because...
It was a flash sack.
It was a flash sack.
So, I flashed my sack.
Let's go with this soundtrack for the background music. And I have got the mail sack questions available right here. Question number one comes from Brandon Newman. Mm. What's your guy's favorite Midwestern salad? As a person who was raised in the Midwest, it is a toss-up between frog eye salad and pistachio salad.
Whoa.
I don't know what a frog eye salad is.
Well, let me look that up for you.
Okay. I'll go on record and say my favorite is either the strawberry pretzel salad or the Snickers apple salad.
That sounds healthy.
Yep. It's Midwestern. I mean... Everything's got chocolate and mayonnaise.
Well, here's what a frog eye salad is according to allrecipes.com.
Okay.
It is a couscous or a pasta salad with coconut, pineapple, mandarin orange, and marshmallows.
So it's essentially, it's...
salad.
Yeah. What is it? Ambrosia.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was thinking
of the lady from Edward Scissorhands. She's like, have you tried my ambrosia salad?
The Midwest just fucks everything up. I know, right? Like, the South is like, look at this delicious ambrosia. And we're like, put some noodles in it.
That's my sweet treat for this afternoon.
I don't know if it counts, but I would say, like, because we had it last night for dinner. You know, most people have delicious salad with, you know, I don't know, avocado and stuff like that. Mm. April and I had Big Mac salads last night.
We did have Big Mac salads. They were delicious.
I mean, if you're going to go that way and you want a Big Mac, but you want to be healthy, hey.
It's good.
It was delicious.
I would say yes. Mm-hmm. I'd go with a Cobb salad or a chicken Caesar salad.
Yeah.
Larry?
Caesar salad, really a Midwestern salad?
Yeah, I was thinking more like mayonnaise-y, like a macaroni salad, like that version of a salad.
Potato salad.
Like a lettuce salad.
I took it
salad.
More of like what's my favorite. I mean, isn't a Cobb salad kind of a Midwestern
kind of. There's seven-layer salad. That's the one that's got the peas and stuff in it.
Oh, I go for that, too.
Yeah.
I'll say, you know what? I'll say egg salad.
Mm, that is a good salad.
I love egg salads. Yes.
Love a salad.
Question number... Everybody answered?
Yep.
Question number two comes from Marcus Anthony. When you hear Houston, what do you think of as far as culture, food, music, and weather?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Well, I know for me, there's a band that was called Houston from the 90s into the 2000s that used to play with another band I love called Shiner. So I always think of them, and they were really great.
Nice.
I know it's a kind of a skip away because I'm going to go with Texas and Fort Worth. But when I think of Houston, I think of Pantera.
Okay.
And that's probably one of my favorite metal acts of all time. So...
Josh likes Pantera.
What did you say?
I would have to say, because I guess, like, I don't really know a whole lot about the regionality of Texas. I know some parts are super conservative, while other parts are really, really quite the opposite, and I'm not sure where Houston falls on that scale. But my immediate reaction to the question was like, what is the first thing that I think of when I hear Houston? And I have to say, we have a problem.
Okay.
Actually, dear, we're dumb.
What?
We have our good friend of the show and who has been on Potty Slam, Cody Laveau.
I thought he lived in somewhere else.
I thought he lived in Houston.
I don't know. I thought he lived in San Antonio.
I don't know. He lives there somewhere.
He lives in Texas.
Yeah.
Texas
See?
Is a big
I know
state,
nothing
you know.
About Texas.
Yeah, we're dumb.
Texas.
What about you, Larry?
Well, when I think of culture in Houston, I think of I think of like oil barons for some reason.
Yep. Okay.
Like I the see Houston that. Oilers.
Yeah. As far as food, I think steaks, steakhouses.
Mm-hmm.
As far as music, I think of like I think hip hop because the Ghetto Boys were from Houston, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And weather, I just think it's fucking hot and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the closer you get to the, I mean, you're. Yeah.
Question
I've been in that kind of heat.
Mm-hmm.
Question from Dan Watson. Seeing as I'm British, what do you like about Britain most? And I think April's probably most qualified to speak about this.
We do have quite a few English listeners, UK listeners.
I would have to say, gosh, besides everything, I loved it there. I would live there in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I loved the travel system. There was a lot of walking, but I really liked taking the London Underground, which was like more of an experience than it was like a, I don't know. I really liked that. I would have to say my favorite thing, and hey, P.O. Box, send me some if you live in England and they still have them. Cadbury made a chocolate bar that was called like Jelly Popping Candies, and it had like, it was a chocolate bar, but it had like jelly, like gummy gumdrops in it and Pop Rocks.
Oh, really?
And it was a trip, but it was so good. And I remember like 2 days before I left, we went to like every store and I bought out. I took home like 20 chocolate bars and I like rationed them out over the course of a year.
Oh, wow.
I also, you can't go wrong with fish and chips. Like real English fish and chips is so good. Also the bingo halls. I won a lot of money in the bingo halls.
That's cool.
Yeah, Mecca Bingo. Shout out to Mecca Bingo.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's obviously music. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of bands I love from there, but I will say specifically Placebo.
Nice.
Yeah, I would run with Josh's music thing and say your musical output is off the charts. I mean, yeah. From hip hop to rock. I really love Royal Blood. They came out of, I don't know what part of the UK, but they have just an unbelievable sound. When I saw them with Queens of Stone Age, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And also kind of as a side note, side tangent-y thing, Ted Lasso.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Lasso.
I mean, I know it's not, it's a show on Apple TV Plus, but it
takes place. Does it not make you want to watch
football?
Football.
Yeah.
Like, I'm genuinely... Like I watch it, I'm like, should I start watching soccer now? Because I'm kind of invested.
Yeah, I mean,
not invested enough to actually watch it, but enough to make me think that I should watch it.
Do you guys find that accent attractive?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I boned a British guy. Who's that?
Larry, what do you think?
I want to thank, as an older gentleman, I would like to thank Britain for the 90s electronic music that I fell in love with in my early 20s, Underworld, Orbital, Orb. I could fucking go on and on of all the
Chemical Brothers.
Yeah. I mean, I could just keep going and going, but yeah, that's what I, thank you Britain for that. Cause you really changed my life.
Yeah.
Oh, and Monty Python, by the way, forgot about them.
There's so much good stuff.
Next question, silence your phone. Rachel Marie asks, what is your favorite book and or movie, and why is it your favorite?
Zoe.
I can go.
Okay.
The Bible.
No. I would say my favorite book that I've ever read that was most excited when reading it was probably of the A Song of Ice and Fire series was A Storm of Swords, which culminated, if you watch the show, and I won't spoil anything, with seasons 3, 4 and parts of 5. So it was a lot of like the really holy good Lord. And I read that before seeing the show. So I was super into the show because of that.
I have a fun anecdote. Fun anecdote about that, because Ryan used to have watch parties for that, and I went to Ryan's for it was season 3's
big penultimate episode.
Yep, yeah. And that had the red wedding, and right before it happened, Ryan and I looked at each other from across the room, and there was like 15 people in the room, and we knew what was coming. Nobody else did.
Yeah.
It was, so it was like we looked at each other, smiled, go, here we go. Yeah.
Nice.
But also, I want to say the graphic novel, The Watchmen, like really changed my mind about comics. It's why I think comics are so important. And movie-wise, Total Recall. I love it.
Nice.
I could go on. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would say favorite book. It's a toss up. I would say my most suggested book, if anyone's ever like, oh, I need a book suggestion. Do you have one? My most suggested book is Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn, which we were just talking about, Ryan. It's so good. It's I couldn't put it down. I read it in one night. She's an incredible author, and it's a murder mystery that is so twisty turny. You couldn't possibly see the ending coming. But I would say out of all the books that I've ever read, the ones that I continue to come back to, and again, what we were talking about earlier, Ryan, the Little House on the Prairie series, the Laurel Ingalls Wilder, because those are like comfort books to me. I've read them so many times. But I keep coming back because the story is so good. In terms of movies, I would have to say another one of like my comfort movies is probably The Holiday, with Jude Law and Jack Black and Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz. It's a romantic comedy, but it's got Jack Black and it's so good. It's so cute.
Fun.
I'll go. Unless you want to go, Larry?
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to say my favorite book series, it's either one of two, and it's either the Harry Potter series. And I know there's a lot of towards J.K. Rowling, but I read those books years before I found out any of the shit that she's been into, and I just loved it. It's either that or I would say Denis L. McKiernan's trilogy, The Iron Tower, which is a lot like Lord of the Rings, if you're into that. Favorite movies, it's one of two, and I would say it's either Predator or Scott Pilgrim versus the World, because that's a movie I watch Scott Pilgrim like probably every 3 months.
Yeah,
it's like a comfort foodie type.
Yeah, I love it. It's just good stuff.
Lawrence,
God, it pains me to admit, but I'm not much of a book reader. These days, I'm more of a magazine, newspaper type, you know,
sure,
news reader, nothing whatever. But when I was a kid, I read all the Hardy Boy books.
Those are so good.
Yeah. To really like date myself here,
I read all of the. I read all of the Trixie Belden books.
Okay,
and those were sort of in that same vein of like plucky kids solving mysteries.
And God, I think you guys already know my favorite movie.
The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski, yeah. Love that movie.
I guess from that, I would surmise that all of us are like comfort movie people.
Sure.
Because it gives me warm fuzzies to watch Total Recall because I know what I'm getting into. It's going to be silly as shit and fun and, you know.
Next question is from Collier J.
Call you later.
You're given one.
Someday we're going to get this right, Collier. I promise. Right.
You're given $100 billion and told to design a theme park / attraction after a movie. What movie are you choosing and what is the main attraction of your park?
Holy shit balls.
You know, I'm going to go for something. I had an idea that originally I was going to say an Alien versus Predator, but I'm going to take that back. And I'm going to say because of the money, you'll draw in people that are my age because of nostalgia and young kids. It's going to be a Pokemon theme park.
Okay.
And I would say the main attraction would be maybe it's kind of like it'd be like Pokemon Go where you could go in with like you say you have your Pokeball and you could like catch a Pokemon and like you pay for a Pokeball and you could catch like you throw it at a stuffed Pokemon that you want and like that's one that you take home.
Cool. You come up with prizes. I like that.
Yeah.
Sounds very immersive.
I would say of the digital variety, right? Like so it's
You could get like a stuffed like say you wanted a Snorlax. And you would catch your Snorlax and maybe it would have like a digital chip in it and then you can like name it and
Like a Build-A-Bear.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like a Build-A-Bear.
A lot of people don't know this, but actually, you can catch a wild Snorlax in real life. You just have to take me to Chicago, fill my belly up with Goose Island, and then send me to bed at about the point I black out, and the Snorlax will appear.
Hey, I just figured that's right. Good for all ages.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anybody else got a theme park idea, franchise? So he said movie, right?
There's a Pokemon movie.
I know there's technically a Pokemon movie. So you're within your rights there.
Do you ever have it where you have an idea that pops into your head and you're like, that would be... No, I can't say that out loud. Mm-hmm. I would do Titanic.
Jeez. Okay. Okay.
Like, I don't know why that was literally the first thing that popped in my head was like, oh, Titanic. And then I realized how morbid that would be and how disrespectful. But I mean, yeah, there could be like, you could name rides after like, oh, the iceberg, and it's like a tilt-a-whirl. I don't know.
We've had 27,000 deaths on this in the past year.
You could have like historical, like a recreation type thing. You could also have songs from the movie.
True.
I'm sure there's a musical of it. Mm-hmm. I just heard they're making a Game of Thrones musical, so I gotta imagine there's a Titanic idea.
You could have a rose garden to walk through.
Oh. See?
You could have your portrait drawn.
Nude portraits available in the lobby. I can't think of anything real because now I'm brainstorming Titanic theme park ideas, but that's all I have.
You could
your meal package, you could be like, oh, I'm gonna do first class, and it's like, multiple courses, or you could be like, you know what, I want some good old comfort foods, and then you go third class, and that's where you go to have like a buffet with like, here's some shrimp and grits. Like,
why is there rat poop on this buffet table?
It's all
sorry, you're third class, man. Get over
like
it.
An old country buffet.
Yep.
I guess, I mean, I'm trying to think of something fun, too. And one of my favorite film series would be Back to the Future.
Oh, so that would be fun.
So I would set up my park that way and have like the 1950s, like the kind of that main square area with the diner, and then like different variations of that. So you'd have the future version, the 50s version, and then like the Old West version.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah,
that'd be really cool, actually.
And then maybe like the main attraction would be the time travel simulator.
Yeah,
so you could ride in like a DeLorean and have it all outfitted and everything, something like that. I don't know, that's my first thought. Larry, what do you got?
Kingpin.
Okay,
nice.
First place you walk into is a bar.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
But the main attraction is a roller coaster that knocks down bowling pins.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. And so maybe like, if I may elaborate on possibly an idea here, you could ride in like one of three cars that shape like a bowling ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then depending upon... like, so you could race your friends to see who could take out the most pins or whatever.
Exactly. Next question is from Alex Bayoff. If Larry has three apples and he gives Ryan two oranges, how many pancakes does it take Josh and April to tile their roof? And you better show your work in elephants per beer.
I like it.
Yep.
English penis fish.
English penis fish?
You're wrong. The correct answer is Zanzisi Zambibi.
Damn it. She's the one with the highest IQ.
It's true.
That was perfect. I have to
subscribe to the Patreon if you want to know what our IQ scores are.
Ooh. Larry, did you have anything to add to that?
Did you answer, Ryan?
I double stamped what April said.
What'd she say?
Shit.
Zanzizi Babibi.
Zanzizi Babibi.
I love it, Josh. That's great. Put you on the spot, Ryan. The answer is 1,313. And the elephants in per beer is one elephant per 128 beers.
Nice.
Nicole Whitaker asks, if you had to get rid of one of these, which would it be? Tacos, cake, or donuts?
I don't like this.
Oh, that's easy, tacos. I have way too big of a sweet tooth. I could live without, like, I could see, because she says tacos, I could still eat burritos.
You know what? No, I don't think that was her intention. I'm going to say donuts.
Nope, can't live without donuts. We went this weekend and had a Krispy Kreme hot off the line. I'm sorry, that was orgasmic. A taco has never done that for me.
But donuts are really big, or just small cakes.
Yeah, and?
So get a cake and have your tacos,
no,
too.
No, I'm sorry, there's no cake that tastes like a Krispy Kreme donut.
Mm. She's got valid points, but I'm going
to
say...
We lied about our kids' a report card to get free donuts this weekend.
Holy shit.
It worked.
It did. We got free four free ones.
Jesus.
Worth it.
They know how to get donuts.
We were like, yeah, he's got four A's, right? And then we checked, and we're like, oh, he's got a D plus and three C's. Shit.
Ryan?
For that, you can lick the frosting that fell by the dumpster.
You can get on the conveyor belt and open your mouth.
Yep.
I would say cake.
I've been in Bukkake.
Larry?
I will get rid of cake and donuts and just give me even more tacos.
Okay, that's fair.
You tripled your taco intake.
I have two foods I am passionate about, tacos and popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can attest to that. I'm the same way with popcorn.
The final question, not my final question, it's actually Matt McShitterman's final question.
Oh, boy.
I often feel like I was born in the wrong time. I have a special affinity for the 70s and 80s and often wonder what it would be like to live then. How fucking young are you? Making me feel like a goddamn senior citizen. What decade or time period would you have liked to live in?
Well, I can go first. I was just thinking about this the other day. I would love to have lived in the 40s. I know we were still in the beginning of that decade in the war, but the music and the
lack of civil rights.
Yeah.
Laws. You could steal from a store and they didn't have cameras.
Yeah, that stuff.
Right.
No social media. Mm-hmm. Social media was just a monocle and a top hat.
Extra was just some guy. Just some little kid standing on the street corner.
Just a minion.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I would say, especially if you're like a teenager, at least, I'm going to say the 70s. Because a lot of my favorite bands and musicians were big in the 70s. That's like when Queen took off, David Bowie. So,
yeah,
that'd be it for me.
I have two very drastically different answers. I would love to do like late 1800s, wilderness sort of, gold rush era. I think that would have been really interesting to see because everything was so different. But also I would have loved to have been born in the 60s so that I would be in my late teens, early 20s in the 80s. I would go to so many concerts because the majority of my favorite bands are hair bands, like big hair bands that like if I saw them now, they're going to suck. Like the hair bands,
like the Motley Crue video.
Yeah, I don't want to see Vince Neil now. We know how that ends. Yeah, right. But like to see him in his prime in the 80s, I would time travel to go back and just see all of my favorite bands live and then come back.
Vince Neil, quote, in his prime.
Yeah, right. Take that with a grain of salt. But yeah.
I was technically born in the 70s. I mean, but I would have liked to have been, I guess, a teenager in the 70s because I loved 70s. I love the fuck out of some 70s funk music. It is so fucking good. Matt, since you're apparently like 12 or something, the 80s, the music was great. The hair was fantastic and the clothing was awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of making a comeback right now, the 80s clothing.
A lot of people are having mullets now, too.
Everything cycles.
Yeah, I look at what teenagers... This is making me sound old, but I look at what teenagers are wearing these days, and I'm like, it's very late 80s, early 90s. Very acid wash denim and like big mom jeans with straight legs. And I'm anxiously awaiting the return of stirrup pants.
No, she wants to wear a denim duster again.
No, the denim duster will never again belong in my closet. I lived that once.
Bring back the Junko jeans, please.
Yep, exactly.
And that has been your sack of mail.
Well, I just would love to say thank you to the people who were...
Yes, that was fun.
Thank you for jumping in there. And if you'd like to ask us questions in the future, please join our Facebook group, closed group. Thank you. Please. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Well, hey. That's been an episode so far. Okay. How did we do on timage there?
Hour 12.
Oh, nice.
Why don't we do have a Matt McShitterman song.
Oh! Hey, 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 hey,
hey, hey, hey. An old man turned 90, won the lottery, died the next day. It's a black fly near Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride. Kissed his kids goodbye. He waited his whole damn life just to take that flight. And as the plane crashed down, he thought, well, isn't this nice? And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride. Just didn't take. And who'd have thought it figures? Yeah, life is a funny way. You're sneaking up on you when you think everything's okay and everything's going right. And life is a funny way of helping you out when you think everything's gone wrong and everything blows up in your face. A traffic jam when you're already late. A no smoking sign on your cigarette break. It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife. It's meeting the man of your dreams and then meeting his beautiful wife. Isn't that ironic? Don't you think? Yeah, I really do think it's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you've already paid. It's the good advice that you just didn't take. And who would have thought it figures? Sneaking up on you, and life is a funny, funny way of helping you out, helping you out.
Yes, that was amazing, Matt.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, oh my damn.
I believe that was a Josh request.
Yeah.
I don't remember doing it. But
well,
isn't
that ironic?
Don't you think?
Got a couple of clowns over here, we do.
Waka waka. Well, get your steps in, folks. Have a great week. Take care of yourself. Does anybody have anything that they, I mean, want to say or preach or a good
word
about?
Thank you for listening for all this time. Thank you for subscribing to the Patreon. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't subscribed to the Patreon, the fuck you waiting for?
Do it.
Yeah.
Out on literally half of our content.
Yep. And Ryan, what is that Patreon website?
Patreon.com/BeerCityMediaPodcasts.
For all your extra Beer City Media needs.
Yep, no, that's where with the show.
That's where you go, and basically you get all the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And shows. I mean, fuck. We talked about all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
Yep. Find it.
Yes.
Does anybody have anything else?
No.
All right. Well, we love you. We'll see you next week. Another episode of the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast. Have a great one. People.
Oh, all of the bitches is out it. Cars robotic, we go retarded. Hopping no foreign, don't need the top. When I get home, I need the top. Louis Vuitton when I leave the house. She got an ass and I grease her mouth. She wanna twerk when I leave the house. Gucci the belt and I'm leave it out. Yeah, I got standards. Diamond near Flanders. Kool-Aid jammer, cookie pack on camera. Yeah, yeah, I got standards. Diamond near Flanders. Ooh, yeah, Kool-Aid jammer, cookie pack on camera. Yeah, she wanna twerk on my chain, get in that brain, swerving your lane. I fuck a knock off a bonnet, I had to get it, I want it, honest. Yeah, private jet, Nike tag, she up next. When you a boss, don't take a loss, count up a check. Soul plate, never late, go on dates. When you get up, they hate. Diamonds, they drip like a lake. Ollie a 10, K-flip a 8. Nigga, I skate. Nigga, I got standards. Diamond near Flanders. Ooh, yeah. Kool-Aid jammer. Cookie pack on camera. Yeah, yeah. I got standards. Diamond near Flanders. Ooh, yeah. Kool-Aid jammer. Cookie pack on camera. Ooh, yeah.
I got standards. Suck on us like planners. Ooh,
yeah. This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.